Support for Impact Cincinnati comes from Murray and Robin Sinclair.
Good morning. This is Impact Cincinnati on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Marianne Zalesnik. As experts begin to look at why people drop out of high school, they're finding it may go back to how well they did in grade school. This morning, we're going to talk about that early childhood education connection. This year, WVXU, in partnership with CET Public Television, is examining the consequences of and solutions for the high school dropout problem. The project is called American Graduate. Joining me are Cincinnati Public Schools Director of Early Childhood Education, Deborah Bradshaw, Executive Director of Success by Six, Stephanie Bird, and Executive Director of the Strive Partnership, Greg Landsman. Ordinarily, you could join in the conversation, but today we are recording the program, so we hope that you will sit back and listen. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Certainly glad to have you all here today. I think a really good place to start is just to have you each just talk briefly about your initial thoughts on early childhood education, those early years in school, the grade school years. And who wants to start?
Well, I will start. I'm Debbie Bradshaw, Director of Early Childhood for Cincinnati Public Schools. And, of course, I have a passion for making sure that we educate our youngest students in school, which are 3- and 4-year-olds who enter preschool programs in Cincinnati Public Schools. I'm very proud of the job that we have done in supporting the school district. I do want to put a shout-out to Cincinnati Public Schools. We are the only effective urban school district in the state of Ohio, and I think it's important for listeners to hear that because that in itself implies that we are working hard to make sure that all children are educated and are able to matriculate through 12th grade and graduate from school. And we believe that preschool has a very important part of that. We know that children entering school prepared is very, very important to their success. I'm very happy to say that I think that we do have a community initiative going on now within the city of Cincinnati where we have a number of entities who are realizing how important early childhood education is, which includes Strive and Success by Six. And I think we're working very collaboratively to make sure we are reaching as many families and students as possible. As far as Cincinnati Public Schools goes, we are very committed to looking at data and having data make decisions for us as how we move forward as a school district and in serving children. We currently serve approximately 2,000 preschool-age children. Some of them are funded through Head Start. Some of them are funded through the Ohio Department of Education. We do have parents who pay tuition, and we do have children on a sliding scale fee. But we also have about 500 children every year that cannot get into our programs. And we are working very diligently to find ways to be able to support those children who are not getting the opportunity for early entrance into school. I will say, as far as readiness goes, we know that we're doing the right things. For children who are in Cincinnati Public Schools preschools, we are at a benchmark of 64% being ready for school, 57% if we look at all children coming into the school district. And that's important to us because United Way's bold goals are looking at, by 2020, 85% being ready for kindergarten. And we feel that we are very much on the track for that happening.
Stephanie, can you talk about a little bit about just the importance of really getting that good start?
Absolutely. Our focus is on prenatal through age 5. And the things that we need to do as parents and as a community to make sure that children have the experiences that will help them be successful by the time they reach kindergarten. There is so much evidence out there now that when you get it right in the early years, that children who are ready for kindergarten are more likely to go on to be successful in school, graduate, and become productive members of our society. And so it becomes a real economic development issue and really a return on investment issue that we as a country have to come to grips with. United Way has focused on this for many, many years. There are experts around the country, economists, physicians, academicians, a very cross-disciplinary group of individuals who understand that this is important. But we as a community, we as a country have not come to grips with how we create a system that supports children in the earliest years so that when they start school, they're successful. And right now we have somewhat of a disparate fragmented system that doesn't link the needs of children based on them being successful. It links children based on their parents' needs. And so what I mean by that, We have a child care system that is intended to help be a support for parents to go to work. But those programs don't necessarily look at the academic and developmental needs of children. They're strictly a support for parents to go to work. We have another aspect of preschool, public preschool, that's focused on the academic needs of children, but don't necessarily meet the needs of working families because those services are over with at the end of the school year or at the end of the school day. Parents work well beyond that. And so we have to look at what's in the best interest of children to make sure that when they are out of home and in the care of other people, that those environments are enriched and are getting them prepared for school, and that they meet the needs of the family so that families can work and be productive while also being assured that their children's needs are being taken care of. Greg?
Yeah, so the ultimate goal that we've set out as a partnership is has everything to do with our ability as a community to build, you know, one of the most robust talent pipelines in the country, where we are graduating young people at the highest rates possible with some post-secondary education so that they can access a good-paying job. I mean, that's ultimately our competitive advantage of as a region is our talent and our workforce and how we invest in that. And our focus is on how we build a better system to do that, to increase the number of people who are graduating with the skills they need to access good-paying jobs. It's key to growing a region. It's key to expanding a middle class. It's key to reducing poverty, et cetera. The second thing to realize, which we did through a lot of data work over the course of several years, was that there are certain milestones that young people have to meet or hit in order to be in a position where they can graduate successfully with a post-secondary degree or credential or whatever it is that will allow them to access a good-paying job. Some of those milestones are intuitive, whether or not they're prepared to succeed once they get into a post-secondary program. If they do well in algebra, that's a key milestone. Maybe that's one that's less intuitive. And then third grade and fourth grade reading and kindergarten readiness, those are key milestones. In fact, in many ways, those are the two most important milestones that a young person has to achieve for no other reason than what we know to be true about the brain. 90% of the brain is fully developed by the time a child enters kindergarten. Believe it or not, I'm a parent with a 2.5-year-old, in about 6 months, 85% of my daughter's brain will be fully structured. That means that the first 3 years are absolutely critical. And so as Stephanie talked about, evidence-based home visitation to help parents do all of the things that hopefully I'm doing as a parent to ensure that my child, when she turns three, is developing the way in which will allow her to be successful moving forward, and then high quality early learning and development experiences, in particular preschool, which Cincinnati Public has been investing in for years and getting results because of that. When they turn five or six, when 90% of the brain is fully developed, if you enter kindergarten prepared, meaning you know your shapes and your colors and the alphabet and a certain number of words and can write your name and all these other things that perhaps some of us take for granted but are fundamentally important in terms of whether or not that child is going to be successful in school, that child is going to be that much more likely to be reading successfully by the end of third and fourth grade. If they are, they're statistically speaking, they're going to graduate. If they're not, statistically speaking, they're going to drop out. In fact, they're four times more likely to drop out if they're not reading successfully by the end of third or fourth grade, and that's tied directly to kindergarten readiness. If you're low income and not reading successfully by the end of third or fourth grade, you're 13 times more likely to drop out. So if we can get the first 9 years right with a real focus on the first five, which is what Stephanie and Success by Six and others are doing, and Debbie and CPS with really investing in preschool, then you're going to see dramatic improvements along that education continuum, allowing us to reach that goal where we have created the most robust talent pipeline in the country.
With so many things that you've talked about and the areas that you want to work on, it seems in the research that I've read that reading is really the most critical of all of the things that a student needs to know, more so than knowing about science or even math. Why do you think reading is so critical to this future in terms of graduating from high school?
Well, I'll start with that. Literacy is the basis of everything that you do in life. It's the basis of math. It's the basis of science. It's the basis of social studies. And it is very important, but anything in a silo loses its importance. So what we work very hard at doing in the early childhood community and within early childhood and Cincinnati Public Schools is that we try to look at a more holistic approach. Reading is wonderful, but if the child is not socially, emotionally adept, they're still going to have a lot of problems. So there are things that go hand in hand in early childhood, and we look at that more. We look at the academic piece because that's important. We have a program that's called Books in Action in Cincinnati Public Schools that is funded through United Way. And what we're doing with that is we're looking at literacy with social-emotional themes because we know you can have the most well-behaved child, but if they don't know their academic piece, they're not going to be successful. On the flip side, you can have a child who is as intelligent as a child can be, but if he can't sit still for 5 minutes, if he can't interact with his peers, if he doesn't have good manners, he's not going to be successful either. So we know that those two pieces have to merge together, and we know that parents play an important part of this also. So in our Books in Action program, what we do is we provide literacy in the classroom along those themes. We also have the same books for the parents to take home and work with those along with some parent education because we have children for part of the day, but they're at home part of the day also. And we want to make sure that these skills mesh and they're getting the same kinds of introductions to those skills.
There's a saying, and I think all of you have heard it, and that is from zero to third grade, from birth to third grade, children are learning to read. From fourth grade on, they're reading to learn. And so we spend a lot of time in the early years from zero to five really making sure that those who are interacting with children know how to help them learn to read. And one of the things that we've tried to do is demystify that because not every parent reads at the level that we may read. And so helping them understand that it's not just reading the words on a page, but having a conversation with their children while they're doing the things that they do every day. There's a program that we have called Born Learning that really helps parents understand that while they're taking their children to the grocery store or while they're on the bus or as they're going about doing their day-to-day activities, having conversations with children about what they're experiencing is helping those children develop their own language skills, to be able to say things, to express themselves, to be able to develop the ability to have confidence in the words that they're using. And so it's not a matter of just sitting down and reading a book. That is very important, but it's also creating the environment where using words is encouraged and helping children express themselves is encouraged. We have an initiative that we started years ago with CPS and the public libraries called Shared Reading, where with the use of very few words, a parent sits with a child on their lap looking at a picture book and telling the story that they see on the pages of that book. So that they're creating the relationship that's important, that nurturing relationship that's so important between an adult and their children, and then also helping to help the child articulate what they see on that page. So they, again, are expressing themselves using their own imagination and creating the words that describe what they see on the page of that book. And so it's demystifying it and making it more comfortable for parents to do what they can do while also helping those who are professionals in the field understand where children are and taking them to the next level using data and curriculum that are focused on helping to improve reading skills.
So, you know, if a child hasn't mastered reading by the end of third grade, since we sort of pull back on the reading instruction in the fourth grade, it's going to be very hard, to Debbie's point, to keep up in math or science or any other class that you're taking if you haven't mastered reading at grade level by the end of third grade, because like I, you know, like we said, that's when we start to pull back the reading instruction. So we, recognizing how important this was, and really being compelled by the data that suggests that that if in fact you're reading successfully by the end of third grade, you're on the right trajectory, and if you're not, odds are you're going to drop out. And so we launched with several others, over 100 organizations and leaders now, an early grade level reading campaign on both sides of the river to focus on the five big strategies that we know will work and have worked to improve early literacy rates. One happens to be the kindergarten readiness work that Debbie and Stephanie are leading. When a child shows up to kindergarten prepared, they are, you know, those prepared students are, you know, 90% of them are reading proficiently by the end of third grade, versus 54% if they're not prepared. So getting a child prepared is job number one, and that's where CPS's preschool is so critically important, and all the other work that we're doing through home visitation and helping other child care centers get up, improve the quality of their programming. The second one is around school attendance. You'd be surprised at how significantly correlated that is to third grade reading. The third is around summer learning, extended learning, especially for low income and disadvantaged children. The fourth is around the literacy interventions, and that sometimes means just tutoring. So we've got to get more tutors, and we're working with CPS and others to just flood those high-need schools with tutors who can help students in that regard. And then finally, parent engagement and community will. It's obviously a proven strategy, and Stephanie mentioned one of those proven strategies, which is the Born Learning Academies, which help parents, all of us, think about the everyday things that we're doing with our children and how they become teachable moments. Because the more interaction and the more words that child hears day in and day out, the more likely they're going to be reading successfully by the end of third grade.
This is Impact Cincinnati on 91.7 WVXU. We're talking today about early childhood education and what it means for future in high school. We'll continue our discussion in just a moment.
Support comes from Move Your Hide Power Yoga. Located on the square in Hyde Park, Move Your Hide is dedicated to bringing power yoga to Cincinnati. Move Your Hide offers 28 power yoga classes each week that improve strength and flexibility. You can learn more at moveyourhide.com. That's moveyourhide.com.
Support comes from Columbia Acura, offering a complete selection of new and pre-owned luxury cars. Columbia Acura's new vehicle lineup and professional staff are available 7 days a week on Montgomery Road at I-275. More information at 530-0100 or columbiaacura.com. Columbia Acura, advance. Support comes from Dr. Fred Peck, a member of the American Academy of Cosmetic Dentistry, providing dental care for the entire family by treating the underlying cause of dental disease, which can also affect overall health and helping to maintain a healthy smile. Dr. Peck is accepting new patients in his Montgomery office, 621-7666, or online at pecksmiles.com.
This is Impact Cincinnati on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Marianne Zalesnik. We're talking this morning about early childhood development and its impact on the future of students in high school. My guest, Cincinnati Public Schools Director of Early Childhood Education, Deborah Bradshaw, Executive Director of Success by Six, Stephanie Bird, and Executive Director of the Strive Partnership, Greg Landsman. We were talking an awful lot about just getting prepared and all that needs to be done early on. One of the things that happened a lot years ago and then stopped happening and I think is being looked at again is the idea of holding a student back if they're not ready. And I think an awful lot of schools, when I was in school 40 years ago, did it no matter what. And then there was concern about the stigma of holding a student back. And it wasn't happening, and you found students passed from grade to grade who couldn't read, who didn't know how to do the work that was expected in the next grade. What is the trend on that now, and what's happening in terms of students who just can't meet the work?
We're launching into this in Ohio, where there's going to be this so-called third grade guarantee, and kids are going to be held back. And it's a good thing that the state is thinking about this, and there are some things that they're doing to provide districts with flexibility to spend their money differently, to invest earlier on, and get ahead of some of the issues that children might be happening. But the data on holding a child back is pretty conclusive. It actually leads to greater rates of dropout, of kids dropping out. So while it's important to get focused and to intervene and to do additional assessments and to provide additional supports, that's what we all advocate for, holding a child back, the data suggests that, in fact, it will just invigorate the dropout rate, not reduce it.
And that's why our belief is prevention is much better than intervention. If we can prevent children from getting to the point where they're falling behind, where they need extra help, rather than depending on an intervention at a later date, hoping that we can catch a child up once they hit middle school or elementary school, it just doesn't work quite as well. And that's why we're looking at things like school attendance and summer interventions, because we know that those are things that are preventative measures to keep a kid from getting to the point where we have to worry about, are they prepared, are they on target, and can they move ahead?
Well, and the other thing that we know is that the cost of intervention is so much more expensive. Just think about numerically, when you hold a child back, you've got that whole year that you're repeating in cost for that same child. The cost of that child not graduating because they have been retained, and the fact that they aren't able to earn an income that then contributes to our community, is a cost that is borne not only by that child, but by society. And so when I mentioned earlier about the return on investment, there is as much as a $17 to 1 in return on investment when you invest in the early years and making sure that a child is ready versus having to intervene and do correction because they've not had that experience earlier in their lives.
What about, I was talking with a friend of mine who's a kindergarten teacher, and she has many kids coming into her class who are 4. Mm-hmm. They won't be 5 till well into the year. Is there any discussion on that? Is it that okay if they're going to be 4 and are going to be 5 soon on, or should you wait and start them when they're already 5, even though they'll be the oldest in their class?
Well, for Cincinnati Public Schools, you have to be 5 by September 30th to enter school, first of all. So school starts in August. You have to be 5 by September 30th. So if they are 4-year-olds, they are only 4-year-olds for a very, very short period of time. The Ohio Revised Code is very clear that a child is eligible for school once they turn of school age, which is 5 years old. But again, that is why we have the importance of our early learning situations with the preschools and the child cares and the home visitation, because the chronological age of a child is one thing, but the readiness age of a child is something else. So the more that we can provide interventions, the more that we can provide early childhood education programs for them at 3 and 4-year-olds, and making sure that they are ready to enter kindergarten with the skills that we need, we are hoping that that 1-month period won't be a hurdle for kindergarten teachers.
And it's important for parents to understand the developmental milestones, because their child may be very bright and may be able to interact with his or her peers, but understanding what is age appropriate for that child so that they don't misconstrue that child being bright with that child being ready is really, really important. And then also having teachers and child care providers who are working with that child every day to understand where that child is developmentally is critical, because each child is different. You know, there's a thought that boys who are born in the latter part of the year are probably more likely to be better served if they're not put into kindergarten. And you can't say that categorically for boys. You have to understand that individual child. And so it comes down to knowing the child, knowing what's developmentally appropriate and where that child is in the developmental milestones.
We, as Debbie said, we don't start public education until a child turns 5, which is, in my mind, insane when you think about the way in which the brain develops. 90% of the brain is fully developed at that point. So when you look across the globe and those countries that we're competing with now and that we'll be competing with in the future, they're starting school much earlier because they figured this out. So in China, kids start at age 3. In Israel, it's age 3. Others are starting even earlier. The idea that we wait until 90% of the brain is fully developed and then say, okay, now you can go to school, is not just the, in my mind, and I think collectively, we would all agree, one of the most significant social justice issues of our generation. But long term, it's probably the most relevant economic imperative we face. If we don't get this right, our ability to compete is diminished significantly.
So what do you suggest for parents then if they have a child who will be 5 by September 30th? They think they're not mature enough, perhaps to handle school, is it okay to say we're going to wait another year and start them when they're six?
Well, they certainly have that right, because your child has to start school by six. They're eligible to start at five. But what I would say to parents is do a little homework and look to see what kind of early education opportunities are out there for their child. And then make decisions based on what they feel most comfortable with, what their mind tells them is the best sitting for them, and get early intervention for them. Again, I'm going back to the prevention model. We talk about literacy. In early childhood, literacy is important, but there are other pieces that are more important. You cannot have a literate child if they do not have their immunizations, if they have not had a dental exam, because a child who is not healthy cannot learn. So that's another advantage of going to an early childhood program. It is a requirement of our program that children have medicals and dental, so that we can find out early if they have a hearing problem, if they have dental problems, if they have nutrition problems, if they have allergy. We work with parents so that we are helping the child to become ready holistically, ready in all aspects of their life, so that as they matriculate, they can be successful.
Let's talk, we have a very short time left, but talk about just the varying skills of students as they come to school. Some are brighter than others. Some are more prepared than others. Some had more help at home or through some of the programs you've talked about than others. Yet you're putting them all in the same classroom. How does that work?
Well, I think it's an example of society and life. We all come from different backgrounds. We all come from different socioeconomic entities. And so we take children where they are. What we do is we use a lot of data to look at where children are. We do screenings for all children within 45 and 90 days. There are certain screenings that every child will have when they come into preschool. Holistically, in our city, we do something called the Brackens, where we look at their school readiness skills, and then we look at their social-emotional. We look at directionality. And then we look at that data, and then we do individual plans for children so that not only are we working with them in a group and helping them to become socially competent citizens, but we also work on the academic areas.
30 seconds each of you. Any comments?
The thing about early childhood that's so important is that it levels the playing field for children who have all different types of socioeconomic backgrounds. When they have a high-quality early learning experience, they arrive at kindergarten on level with their peers, and they go from there. So we're looking at it as a way of leveling the playing field.
Yeah, at the end of the day, you know, education is the great equalizer. It's the game changer. And at the heart of that is whether or not we're helping kids show up to kindergarten prepared when 90% of their brain is fully developed. If, in fact, we get that done, you know, there's a lot more we got to do, but we'll get a lot further along.
Thank you all for being here. And thank you for listening to Impact Cincinnati on WVXU. My guest today, Cincinnati Public Schools Director of Early Childhood Education, Deborah Bradshaw, Executive Director of Success by Six, Stephanie Bird, and Executive Director of the Strive Partnership, Greg Landsman. Producer for today's program was Pete Reitmeier. Our engineer today, Chelsea Vandedrink. American Graduate is a public media initiative funded by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.